Okay. What is your full name?
Norman Ivor Rasmussen.
Yes. And you, when and where were you born?
I was born in Ringsted, Iowa, on my parents' farm, or the family farm.
And when was that?
October 5th of 1939.
Okay. And your parents, what were their names?
Torval and Christina Rasmussen. My mother's maiden name was Nelson. N-E-L-S-O-N.
Yes.
My father, should I go on? Mm-hmm. My father came from, he came from Denmark in 1930, right in the heart of the Depression. Mm-hmm. He was 25 years old and came over here and could speak no English at all. And he was gonna go to Oregon. He had two cousins, that's why he came, his reason for coming here. But instead, one of the guys on the ship told him on this, that he sailed over with, they said, if you want a farm, you want to go to Iowa. And he said, he said, I know some people in Estherville, Iowa, that would take you and help get you started. And so this guy helped him get a ticket on a train, and then he telegraphed ahead to Estherville and told him what day and what time he'd be there. And that's how he arrived here. Mm-hmm. And he is an only child, and he had one aunt, and she never married, so I have no family that I'm aware of in Denmark. Mm-hmm. I have friends, but no family.
Do you know where in Denmark he came from?
He came from Fyn.
Yeah?
And Odense. He spent some time between Fyn and Odense, where he grew up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was in the Danish army for I don't know how long, mm-hmm. for a period of time, if it was 6 months or a year or how it was. Mm-hmm. But
so he came to Estherville,
yep.
Iowa. We can go on there. How did he went on to?
He went to a little town or a little village called Helfa, Iowa, and it's still in existence. Mm-hmm. It's. And then from there to Ringsted, and he worked for the different farmers in the area.
Okay.
And he started in Helfa, worked for a guy by the name of Pete Munson, was his first employer. Mm-hmm. And then he worked for Soren Nielsen. And when he worked for Pete Munson, I think it was that way, and then or the way it was then, every Sunday he would go over to Soren and Marguerite Nielsen for Sunday dinner because they could talk Dane. Mm-hmm. And they worked with him to learn the English. And in time he picked up and mm-hmm. and always had a brogue. He always did. Mm-hmm. A tractor was a tractor.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good, you know. Yeah.
So he eventually ended up in Ringsted.
Yeah, yes he did. And then he worked for different farmers around the Ringsted area and got involved in the country church out there. And mm-hmm. and that's kind of how he met my mother.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then they married 9 years later. Mm-hmm. They were married. And then my mother, she was originally born and raised on a farm in southeast of Ringsted, mm-hmm. and where I farm now,
okay.
a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they have had, there was five children. I'm the oldest. And then there were four boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. And one lives in, the next oldest lives in Milford, Iowa. The middle one lives in Cocoa Beach, Florida. And then the daughter lives in Sibley, Iowa, or my sister. Mm-hmm. And then my youngest brother lives in Mesa, Arizona.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mesa, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, then when Dad got married, then that's when my grandfather had purchased another farm, and then he moved on that and farmed that. And then later on, when they retired, they sold that farm. And I kept, or then I bought, when my grandfather passed away, then I bought the one where my mother was born and raised.
So it's very much in it's the family.
Yeah.
Family farm.
Yeah. I think and not next year, I think, maybe next year, it'll be a century farm, I think. Pretty sure. And that's when it's been in the family for 100 years.
That's an expression you have.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I never heard
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your mom and dad, they met each other in Ringsted.
Yes.
Yeah. So you grew up in Ringsted.
I did.
What kind of schooling was there?
This is kind of strange. Excuse me. We lived on the same farm in a county called Palo Alto County. It borders Emmett County, where Ringsted is, mm-hmm. and Kossuth County to the east. Well, in the first grade, I went to a school called Sunnyside, mm-hmm. and that was a country school, and I was in first grade. And then the second year, I went to another country school in second grade, and that was called Giffen School. Mm-hmm. And that, both country schools. And then third, fourth, and fifth, I went to Fenton, which was in Kossuth County. And then sixth grade on, then we got back into Ringsted, mm-hmm. and went to school there. And the reason that we could move from one school to the other, mm-hmm. in each one a different county until we came back to Ringsted, was because in our township, they had a rule that if you lived in Independence Township, which we did, mm-hmm. they would pay the tuition no matter where you went. And it just, that's the way it worked. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we did that back then. And then I graduated from Ringsted in 1957. And then I pursued farming and mm-hmm. had a corn sheller, did some custom work, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Got married.
What kind of crop did you grow, mainly?
We grew corn, beans, and at that time some alfalfa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I still farm that farm. I have 18 acres in a wetland program for 15 years. I don't know if you heard that guy speak, Jerry, speak a little this morning about this government thing. Anyway, it's for wildlife is what it's really for.
Okay.
And then I have 40 acres in beans and 80 acres in corn.
Yes. That means that it's land that's taken out of production.
And it's set aside and cared for. When you need to mow weeds or cut weeds, you do and keep it. And it's for, it's supposed to be for ducks. It's a wetland, but mm-hmm. it's really for us out down there, mostly for pheasants.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
So you hunt behind them?
I have a group of people that come out from Indianapolis, Indiana, every year. There's two different groups, and they've been coming out. This will be their 17th year, and their youngest boy was, or their oldest boy, or the one guy was a baby when he mm-hmm. first came out. Now he comes out and hunts with us. And I have a friend up in Michigan that comes and mm-hmm. spends about a week or 10 days. Mm-hmm. So I devote my fall to harvesting and mm-hmm. pheasant hunting, or entertaining more or less, mm-hmm. and enjoy it and look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been farming all your life, since you grew up.
Yeah, yes.
What kind of social group or social life would you say there was in Ringsted during your lifetime?
Well, it's changed. You know, we used to have two churches or three churches. Now we're down to two, and there isn't the population that there was. Mm-hmm. We don't even have a grocery store in town anymore. We mm-hmm. have a hardware store and a tavern, cafe type thing, and another cafe yet. But there used to be dances we could go to. You know, all around the area. But there isn't any of that, very little of that anymore. Mm-hmm. know what we call the big band era, where we had the orchestras and stuff come in and play. And there isn't that. I don't think there's... I think if it wasn't for the churches and the social gatherings we have there, there wouldn't be a lot of social things going on. Not like there used to be. Other than the school, of course. And school, when I was young or growing up, we never played ball or sports because we worked. Mm-hmm. On the farm, we worked at home or we worked out, and there was work to do. Mm-hmm. Shell corn, walk beans, bale hay, are just the daily chores at home. Mm-hmm. And now these kids live in town, and it's a good thing they have their sports programs mm-hmm. and stuff all summer long, and winter too, for that matter. Helps some of them stay out of trouble. Gives them something to do. Mm-hmm. Helps build character. Yeah, it's that part. And there are groups of families that get together for card clubs and stuff like that. Yeah. But
so the churches, and you belong to a Lutheran church in
Boston. Yeah, I belong to St. John's Lutheran. It was a little country church. And then we merged, or we yoked, is what we did, with St. Paul's in town. And we were both the same synod, the same everything. Mm-hmm. We were just, there was a split way back when I was very young.
Within the Danish church?
Yeah, between the Danish and between the ELC and the LCA, and then mm-hmm. it all merged into one. So we're in there, and now we have a lady pastor. And we just love her. She's just a joy. We've had mm-hmm. some real good ones. And one of ours is here today, okay. and his wife that was here. And then he retired, and he still preaches off and on different places. Okay. Harold Hines is just a wonderful man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've served on church councils. I was an usher at that country church for 48 years, and I spent 16 years on a telephone board, and I put in 21 years as a council member for the church, and then I worked full-time for 27 years at a manufacturing company and still farmed.
Wow.
So I kept busy.
I think you did.
Yeah. And I was married in 1963, mm-hmm. and it's kind of ironic, or it was. I was 23 years old when I got married.
23?
And I was married for 23, and then we were divorced. Mm-hmm. But in that union, we had two children, and she had two before, so I adopted them. Mm-hmm. And now I've been single for 24 years, and... Mm-hmm. I'm happy. I don't have a problem with it, you know. I'm content. I can do what I want to do, mm-hmm. and I try to help different people in different areas. I do like to go to rest homes and visit some people, and I have a school teacher that's 95 years old, and she had to go to a rest home a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. Good Samaritan home. And I keep very close in touch with her, and she's just had her 95th birthday. And matter of fact, I visited with her this morning. She said, "You got to get home and take me out for a ride." So, yeah, things like that work real well for me, yeah. Like this.
Yeah, I get back to that.
Yeah.
You have four children.
Yes.
Where do they live?
One lives in Mountain Home, Arkansas, with her mother. Mm-hmm. One lives in... He was married and lived in Gulfport, Mississippi, and they split up, and then he found some gal on the internet, and he's living in Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah, and I hardly ever hear from him. Mm-hmm. My other son hears from him at Christmas time, and then I have another daughter that lives in Spirit Lake, which is only 45 miles or 50 miles
from me.
And then I have a son, Michael. He lives in Ringsted or Sway City. And he drives trucks.
Some are close and some are very far away.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But it's often in America, Americans are moving around a lot. I hear what the stories I've been hearing.
I'm sure.
Yesterday and today, it's about the story of moving around, maybe living in west of the country, and then perhaps in Germany abroad, and back again. It's you're much more mobile in your way of life than most Danes are.
Yeah.
Used to be, at least.
Right or wrong, but that's the way it is. And I don't think it's all bad.
I don't think either.
You know, I can look, and we talked about this here, just sitting outside the other day here. You know, if you took, and I've been involved in an all-school reunion before. In 99 we had one, and they're talking about having another one now next year. But, and you visit with the different people that have left Ringsted, for an example, and went out into the world, the majority of them have done very, very, very well. You didn't have to stay in Ringsted, Iowa to make a mark.
No.
There's opportunity all over, and if you want to go out and grab a hold of it and use it, it's there for you.
That's true.
And I didn't realize that when I graduated. I thought, well, I got the world by the tail because I'm going to sit here and farm and all that, and everything's going to be great. It has its ups and downs, just like everything else does.
Sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But you have you come to Danville Folk Meeting.
I came about, I don't know if it was 6 or 7 years ago. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've interviewed or met Axel Thompson.
Not yet.
And okay, well, he came up to me one day in the cafe in town. Well, he called me.
Yeah.
He said, come out to the house. So I did. And he said, you need to come to Tyler. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, you need to try. Even if come for one day, if you don't like it, leave. And I came on a I came on a Thursday evening, and I got my room, and I stayed Thursday night and Friday and Saturday, and went home Sunday. And before I left, I signed up for the full
next year.
Yep, and I've been here ever since.
I believe that.
I was in Brainerd, Minnesota before I came here. There's a group of us that go up there, fishing and playing in the water and drag races. Some go to and. I had as much fun as I've ever had up in Brainerd this year. And I had to pull myself to leave, but I knew, you know, I could have spent another day up there and been a day late here, but I knew that wasn't the right thing in my heart. So I said, see you. Here I am.
This year you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, I came just like I was supposed to on Wednesday afternoon.
And that suits you very fine.
Oh, yeah. I just, this is such a wonderful experience.
What do you like so much about it?
The fellowship. The camaraderie. You sit down and you meet all kinds of people, the people you never met before, and also renewing old acquaintances with those that you remember from last year and the year before. I just got done writing a note on 3 different cards out there for 3 people that can't be here this year for various health reasons. And the first time I came here, I stayed the same place I do now, and in a private home, and there was a couple from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and their names were Norman and Loretta Peterson. Well, there was a lot of Normans around here, so everybody called him Nummy, and he was just a grand person, still is, but he's got Lou Gehrig's. And now he's in a rest home, but for several years I helped him get up and down the steps and in and out of the van and get him in here and get him out and get him back home. And everybody said, you shouldn't have to do that. And I said, I couldn't refuse that. If I had to come up here and sit and watch him and couldn't help him, I wouldn't even want to come back up here, you know. That's just part of it. If somebody needs some help, you help them. And now they can't. And she called me about 2 weeks before we left for Brainerd, or I did, And
yes. Yeah.
Can I leave a sweater in here? I'm sorry. No sweater? Beside
no.
You? Okay.
Like that white one.
No.
Nope. I wish it were. Sorry.
Okay.
Don't believe much he says, though.
I do.
I've known her since she was that high. But where were we at now?
The guy you were helping.
Yeah, Norman Peterson. Yeah. Nummy. But she said, and he'll never be able to. It's just this slow trip down, but he flew airplanes and he could play accordion and he was a musician and he mm-hmm. could just do anything. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea there were people like that around, you know. That,
so you've been enjoying some of the first day?
Oh, yeah, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The experience of being here, does that... do you bring some of it with you home? What kind of?
I sit and tell some of my friends at home the fun that we have. Some want to know about the lectures, mm-hmm. and some want to know, well, what else you do? And I said, well, we sing. They don't do that anymore. We folk danced and we sang out of what we call the world of song, mm-hmm. all as we grew up. We just did. That was part of our Sunday school, part of our summer school program, part of our church. We used to have fast allowance. That's the party before Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And, we don't have any of that stuff anymore. But
you used to have summer school.
Yeah.
At Burnley School.
Yeah. But we'd have it for half day. And they still do have that for the Sunday school kids. A summer school type mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different level than it was when we went. But mm-hmm. I think what I can bring home is the memories of it that carry me through, mm-hmm. and it's something to share in conversation with other people that are up here or have been up here from your hometown when you get together, normally in a cafe or something mm-hmm. like that.
You feel very much at ease and
at
the same
up
outlook
here?
With people here. Have you always been? This is, you can say this is politically and also culturally a group of certain values. Have you been sharing those values all your life, or are you sort of?
No, I try to
getting more into. That now,
I've always liked to visit with people and talk about things, mm. not so much politically, because I am not as far as the politics of the government and all that. I'm a lot happier person if I don't get involved with all that stuff, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to solve it myself anyway. Mm-hmm. And I've worked, like I said, on church councils and telephone boards, and there's enough politics in that. And now that's behind me. Mm-hmm. And I just don't need that. I want to do like that one said that one night. She said, be happy. You know, if you're going to mm-hmm. be a happy Dane, you gotta.
So you are a happy Dane?
I think so. You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Would you call yourself a Dane?
Oh, yes. Yes. 100%.
You're an American citizen, of course, mm-hmm. but still you will call yourself a Dane.
Oh, yeah.
How come?
Because my father came from Denmark, and my grandmother came from Denmark, and I am an American citizen.
Yeah, sure.
And I realize that.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes up and says something about the Germans are better than the Danes, or the Norwegians are better than the Danes. I'll say, whoa, now, only as in humor, to be
yeah,
used
sure,
in
I'm
humor,
sure, I'm sure.
not to create an argument or anything like that. No, I'm proud of the fact that I have Danish heritage. Hmm. And if somebody come up to me and said, well, are you an American citizen? I'll say, of course, which I mm-hmm. am.
Would you also consider yourself being a Grundvikian?
I can't really answer that, because I'm not sure that I understand everything about the Grundtvigian philosophy. But I think, and when Axel and I have sat and talked, and how you feel about other people and your beliefs, some of the beliefs, I could be close to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not going to sit and argue it with anybody until I would read more about Grundtvig and his... But I could hear on a couple of the talks up here that Grundtvig to me was he had his beliefs, but he was also a caring person, and he wouldn't... I think if you didn't like something, I don't think he'd force it on you.
No.
He might present it to you and work with you on it, but I...
We have that expression in Danish, which I think is a quotation from Grundtvig, which says, frihed for Loke, såvel som for Thor. Freedom for Loke, which is a character from the Nordic mythology,
okay,
as well as from Thor,
okay,
the god.
Yeah.
Freedom for...
For everybody.
For everyone.
Yeah.
So I think that's much in line with you.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
My father, he was well versed on Grundtvig's theology, pretty much. I mean, he has been told by Torvald Hansen.
Okay.
That he said, you missed your calling, Torvald. My dad's name was Torvald,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He said you could have made the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
In his feelings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he brought his feelings with him over here when he came, and has used them for a lot of the philosophy of his life as far as bringing us kids up. But we don't realize that at the time. It's when mm-hmm. we get later in the years that we start to...
No, I think it's also typical that you don't realize, you're not aware of the values that you have
yeah.
in your life. You live them instead, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think, do you have anything more to add?
I don't think so.
Very good.
I don't think
Very
so.
Good.
I hope I made you happy with whatever it is.
You do. You do, because...